glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading portions from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Oh, listening friend, great words from Almighty God for you and me today. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's July 16th, 2013. What a great passage that brings meaning to today's Part 2 testimony by Josh Ehrman. Yes, I know I left you on a cliffhanger yesterday. I got a lot of feedback for that. But we'll get right back into Josh's testimony in just a moment. But I love a lot of things about these verses. And it's important to know this fearing of God, this fear of the Lord, is not that sense that you should be terrified because he's going to pulverize you. It's that reverence, awe we should have for the Almighty Sovereign God, who certainly is holy, righteous, and just, but he's loving, compassionate, and merciful. And so that fear is that reverent respect that he truly deserves and should come naturally when we understand his character. And as you tuned in yesterday and you'll hear today, Josh Ehrman has been learning about Father God through his scripture reading, life experiences, through others modeling his characteristics, and seeing God work uniquely in his life, providing in a variety of ways through a variety of people. Now, if you missed yesterday's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs link. But today you'll hear some more of Josh's story, the unique ways God was at work in his life, choices Josh made with the Lord's leading, and practical decisions he had to make to follow up on this dream and calling on his life. Quick recap, Josh is 25 years old, born in St. Louis, Missouri, currently living in Nashville, grew up in a Christian home, but his father passed away before he celebrated his fifth birthday. His mom influenced him greatly to draw on God's strength and lean into him. But it was at about the age of 17 where Josh decided to stop playing church. He knew how to do all the Christian things and started making that faith personal as he sought to follow God. He had a love for music and was a worship leader, recorded his first CD at 20 in Nashville, finished up his associate degree, but saw the impact that his music ministry had on people as he was transparent in his songwriting and loved to share his life and present in all sorts of venues. He sensed this calling on his life, and so I'll back up about a minute's worth of yesterday's broadcast to set the stage on how God led him to go to Nashville. Let me also set up how this recording was taped. It was a little over a week ago. I met Josh at the Audio Feed Music Fest held at the Champaign County Fairgrounds. Because of the loud noises of the other bands and artists, we walked over to the horse barns, where we happened to find a bench and chair and just sat down. I handed Josh my microphone and said, share some of your story, testimony, and music ministry. Today you'll hear some of the background noises between the birds, the horses, a helicopter that flies over, cars driving by, dogs and people, and all sorts of distractions. But Josh did great, and we'll even close out our time with another song he did live. Josh is a singer, songwriter, musician, and you can find out more about his ministry work at joshsounds.bandcamp.com. That's joshsounds.bandcamp.com. www.bandcamp.com. Here's Josh Ehrman.
After getting back from touring for 2.5 months, after graduating college with an associate's degree, I started working at a grocery store, Trader Joe's, and I was working there from November of 2011 right up until October of 2012. And within that time, it was a lovely job. I enjoyed it. The people I worked with were great. I was paid well. The work wasn't too hard. I felt like I had a good thing going. But I started to think about moving out of my mom's house. I had turned 22, and I felt that it was nearing that time, especially if I wasn't going to be continuing school. So I started talking to some folks in St. Louis, some friends of mine, about getting a place in the city. And as I started to have those conversations, Nashville kept coming up. I had visited there several times at that point, but I kept thinking about it. Some good friends of mine from Nashville had come to town, you know, and I just, being around them was very encouraging, and I enjoyed it. And around that time, my mother walked into my room one day out of the blue and just approached me and said, "Hey, have you ever thought about moving to Nashville?" And I was like, "Well, as a matter of fact, yes, every day for the past couple months I've been thinking about it." And I never would have thought my mother would say that. So that was kind of that took me by surprise. And I started from that moment to a little bit more seriously consider the possibility. And I had some friends who were looking for a roommate. And so I think it was about a month after my mom had approached me that I decided to actually move. And in my moving to Nashville, there was no clear purpose or reason aside from being around friends and living in a new place, because my whole life I had lived in St. Louis, so I was ready to experience life somewhere else for a little bit. I quit my job in St. Louis, so I crammed everything I owned into my Pontiac Vibe and made the trip down there. And actually, I did not have a place to live when I moved down there. My friends and I had looked at a place and had applied to rent the house, but we had not been approved. Our applications hadn't been approved and weren't approved till I'd already been in Nashville for a week. So I was staying with a friend, kind of hoping that that would work out, and I didn't really have much of a plan B. So thankfully it did work out. But as I was, as I got settled in there and was considering looking for a job, I'd been praying about it and felt pretty strongly that the Lord was telling me to only apply for the jobs that I really wanted to work. And I felt that the Lord was telling me that my time was more valuable than my money for this season of my life. And since then, I've started to see why. But it didn't make too much sense to me at the time. So I rolled with that. That was my gut. That's what I felt the Lord was saying. And so I spent hours looking for jobs, and I found out that there were very few that I actually wanted to work. I applied to work at some guitar repair places, some coffee shops, some custom cabinetry shops in town, and they just weren't working out. I was getting interviews, but I wasn't getting hired. And so it became, well, I just went back to the Lord, and I was like, "Come on, man. What?" I thought this was the plan, is apply for the jobs I really want, and then you give me the jobs I really want, and we go from there. But apparently he had other things in mind, and so I wasn't getting those jobs and kind of reevaluated. And it became clear that it was a season of life for me not to work. I worked through half of high school and all through college, and I worked hard. So I knew that I was capable of doing it, and I felt like the Lord was calling me into a season of rest and time with Him, and also time in community with friends. So I decided not to work, and then it was January of this year, 2013, that I started to consider the possibility of selling my car. And the thought of it freaked me out a little bit up until this point. To sustain myself, to pay rent, to pay my bills, and for food, I had been working short little odd jobs or selling some of my old music gear to take care of things. And so as I ran out of stuff and as odd jobs weren't coming, I wasn't sure how it was going to happen. So I started considering my car, but there was something in me that was saying, you're being irresponsible, you need to get a job. Selling your car is ridiculous. That seems like a giant step backwards. Around the same time, I had this very interesting experience where I kept having song names pop into my head, song names that didn't exist. I just thought, oh, that would be a nice name for a song, which isn't all that uncommon for me. I have those thoughts a lot. I'll see something or have an experience and think that would be a great song topic, and I'll come up with a name in my head. But these few song names kept popping into my head. And so one night I was home alone, and I just sat down with my journal and decided to pray about it. And I was like, Lord, this is a little strange, but I feel like there's something to these song names, and I don't know what. And so I just wrote them down in my journal, and for the next 45 minutes kind of had this like brainstorming session with God. And it was the first time I had really had that kind of like creative interaction with the Lord. But we came up with 7 more song names, and then I had a list of 10, and I thought, well, that's just great. We came up with enough for an album, but didn't think much of it. It seemed like a pretty silly idea at the time. And then I remember closing the journal and thinking, this is great. I'll probably never do anything with these song names, but we came up with them. And I walked into my room, and there was a poetry book that was open on the floor to a page, and all the page said was, to all my friends, on it. It was like an introductory page, just said, to all my friends. And it occurred to me that that would be the name of this album that God and I just kind of creatively came up with through a little chat back and forth one evening. So that kind of gave a little bit more of, I don't know, it solidified the idea of an album, having a name for an album. But I had never written an album that way before. It had always been music first, and then I write lyrics, and then I come up with the name for the song. And this time around, it was song titles first. I didn't know what to do with that, really. So to tie that in with selling my car, I had attended, around the time that I was having that thought of selling my car, I was praying it through, and I was just saying, Lord, if this idea is not yours, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want to do anything foolishly because I'm worried about paying rent. I know you can provide, and if you want me to get a job, just, you know, say the word. But I wanted to be true to what I felt the Lord was telling me, even if it seemed crazy. And then around that time, I had attended church, and the pastor spoke on moments in Scripture where God asked people to do seemingly absurd things for the sake of just trusting Him outright and allowing Him to provide, having people choose to be in a dependent situation. And so that really ministered directly to me, kind of slapped me in the face and said, hey, this is me telling you to sell your car, and I'll provide. So I decided to go through with it. That next month, I sold my car. The first person that came to look at it via a Craigslist ad paid the amount that I was hoping to get for it. And so it was like smooth as butter. It was nice and easy. So from that point, I decided that would be enough money to pay my rent for a while and for me to not have to worry about getting a job, so that I decided to focus on writing this album that I felt the Lord had in some mysterious yet personal way given me. That was about February of this year, and since then I have been writing this album based on these song titles, and I've decided to not have a job until the songs are recorded, and I plan to record October of this year. So that is swiftly approaching, as I'm finding, and I've written about five of the songs. The song you may have heard earlier was called Angels. That will be on the album, and it has become my main purpose in life is to write this album and to let the Lord do whatever He wants to with it, and to take it to the people who He would like to have listen to it, and to take it to the people that would want to hear it. And so I have no intention of making it in the music business, so to speak. I have very little intention of gaining popularity. A little more popularity wouldn't hurt, because it would probably mean a little bit more money, which would be pleasant, but not necessary, as I've seen. I've lived on very, very little in these past 8 months, and God has provided in some beautiful ways. And to tie that in with my image of Him as a Father, watching Him provide and proving time and time again that He is worthy to be trusted, even with situations that don't make sense, to trust Him when He's saying some pretty crazy stuff. It's been a wild and beautiful ride. I think those would be the two words to describe the past 8 months of my life, are wild and beautiful. And I've certainly enjoyed it, and there have been many other moments where I've really not enjoyed it, but I've seen the good fruit that comes with trusting God. We'll close it out. This is a song that will be on the upcoming album that I've shaped my entire life around recording. This is actually the song that stuck out and kept popping into my head initially. It's called The Hidden Lake. And it's the premise of the story is pretty funny. I was trying to dispose of a Christmas tree. We had our Christmas tree up throughout the entire month of January, and there was a local park that decided they were going to recycle actual trees, like mulch them up and spread them on the paths in the park. So I was trying to find this park, and I couldn't find it. I went 3 separate days, even looking up directions, and I got lost every time. And the name of the park is Radnor Lake, and so I decided that it would be called The Hidden Lake, because I just couldn't find the darn thing. And out of that, the Lord taught me to slow down, because this entire time that I'm lost, I'm driving these beautiful country roads as the sun's setting and there's great houses. And through that, I learned, like, just because I'm not accomplishing a certain goal that I'm setting out to, there's still beauty to be appreciated along the way. And if I can't appreciate the beauty in the journey, then I'm not sure I'd ever be able to appreciate anything, you know? So that's kind of what this song is about. It's called The Hidden Lake. Thank you for listening and for letting me share some of my life. It's certainly been a blessing for me to do. So here you have it, The Hidden Lake. Up above my head, tied down tight and cut in two, is a Christmas tree in January. Where am I taking it to? Well, if I only knew where that hidden lake is hiding, I would have been done and through with it 3 days ago, but it's still riding on the top of my car. I'm just trying to do the good thing, to return this beauty to where it came from in the first place. But I find myself, like I often do, just running around, shooting in the dark, making my best guess, but not really having a clue. You gotta slow it down, you're going too fast. You gotta slow it down. You gotta slow it down, slow it down, you're going too fast. You gotta slow it down. You gotta slow it down, you're going too fast. You got to slow it down. Slow it down, slow it down, slow it down. We got to slow it down. I know you know just where I'm trying to go, but you won't tell me how to get there. No, what do you want to teach me? I know you know just where I'm trying to go, but you won't tell me how to get there. No, what do you want to teach me? I know you know just where I'm trying to go, but you won't tell me how to get there. No, what do you want to teach me? I know you know just where I'm trying to go, but you won't tell me how to get there. No, what do you want to teach me?
Are you going too fast? Do you need to slow down? What do you want to teach me? That's a question we could all ask God today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Thank you, God, for Josh Ehrman. What a privilege to recently meet him at the Audio Feed Music Fest. I've kept in touch with him through email and would ask that you would continue to lift him up in prayer as he follows the Lord's leading and uses his gift of music, his writing, and communication skills to bring glory to the Father. You can find out more about Josh's music ministry at joshsounds.bandcamp.com. That's joshsounds@bandcamp.com. Yesterday and today's program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, so pass it on to a friend or listen again. We're out of time, but here's a little portion of a song called The Ohio River off Josh's CD, Hold On. Thanks for listening. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
We sit atop a hill and rain.